Hello, everybody. This is Parrish Alford, and you have tuned into Double Coverage, a podcast of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. I am the Ole Miss beat writer for the Daily Journal. I'm joined by Logan Lowry, our MSU writer. We're going to talk Bulldogs and Rebels for a little while. We thank you for clicking in with us today. Logan, how are you, man?
Hey, I'm doing good, Parrish. Another week, and the season's starting to draw to a close, at least football-wise, that is.
It's drawing to a close, and this is that overlap time where you have different things going on and, you know, trying to cover a couple of basketball teams while you're still trying to cover football. It all makes for some interesting times, folks, and you can follow these interesting times on our new Double Coverage Twitter account. That's at DJ Double Cover, and you can email us at doublecoverage@journalinc.com. So remember that Twitter account at DJ Double Cover. And remember, when you're searching for your podcast, to check out Brad Locke and Derek Russell and The Memo, all things happening in Northeast Mississippi, another production of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. A couple of big games on tap this weekend. The Bulldogs at Arkansas. And, Logan, it's been a while since they've played up in Fayetteville, isn't it?
It has been a long time. 2003, in fact, this is my first time to ever go to Fayetteville. And I've covered Mississippi State for quite a long time. I've made three trips to Little Rock and never been to Fayetteville. So it's going to be a new experience for me. It's actually going to be the last stadium in the SEC that I haven't been to. So you're making
the sweep. That's even with the additions now. You know, it threw me off when the league expanded. And, you know, I had been to Texas A&M, but only as a campus newspaper beat writer for Northeast Louisiana back in 1985. So I was finally able to check that one off, the new Kyle Field. And it's even newer now. I know you were there.
Yeah.
And I actually made the Missouri trip when they were not members of the SEC, and Ed Ogeron's Ole Miss teams, or one Ole Miss team, played out there in 2006. So I still claim that and say that I've been all around the conference. But the Bulldogs haven't played in Fayetteville much. Ole Miss is at home against LSU, and we're going to talk about that game as well. But, Logan, let's start with the Bulldogs. And first I'll say you'll enjoy your trip to Fayetteville. Nice campus, nice venue. And, you know, I've enjoyed it when Ole Miss has played in Fayetteville in October. And you get to go through the Ozarks and see a little fall color. It'll be a little bit late for that for you. But anyway, it's a good trip. What do you think is going to happen there?
Well, it depends on Mississippi State's offensive line plays. If they play like they did Saturday against Alabama, it could be another long afternoon for Mr. Dak Prescott. I mean, he got sacked 9 times against Alabama in that game. Really just didn't I mean, he still threw for 300 yards. But just didn't have the type of game that many expect from Dak Prescott. They, you know, most of Mississippi State's offense goes through him, and he just didn't have time to make a whole lot of things happen for him on Saturday. They've had no resemblance of a running game all season, and it allowed Alabama to kind of pin their ears back and come after him. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, Arkansas was watching that game, and, you know, they're going to have a similar style game plan on tap for them this week defensively. They actually got a few sacks. I think they had 5 sacks against LSU last week. They only had 8 going into the game. So Arkansas is playing much better defensively. And if you've seen Arkansas over the last, you know, 2-3 games, they're playing really well offensively. And I know you got to see them a couple of weeks ago when they played against Ole Miss. But, you know, Brandon Allen is like a new type of quarterback. He's slinging the ball around, finding Hunter Henry all over the place. And, of course, we all know how powerful their running game is, running behind that huge offensive line they got. So Mississippi State's definitely going to have their hands full this week.
Yeah, but Brandon Allen, and I saw him firsthand there. I knew that was going to be a bad matchup for Ole Miss because they had been inconsistent in the secondary. And he went into that game leading the SEC in pass efficiency. I assume he still is. 442 yards, 6 touchdowns, no interceptions against the Rebels. Ole Miss was open last week, so I know that they were taking in that MSU and Alabama game. And Logan, I watch things like that. You know, as everyone in Mississippi does, you're looking for that that Egg Bowl matchup, and it's getting closer. So I'm looking at that wondering, you know, how does Ole Miss compare with Mississippi State here? You know, what matchup favors what team here? I saw all the pressure that that Alabama was getting on Dak Prescott, and that's going to make any quarterback uncomfortable, and it's going to limit his production. But I'm thinking that was more Alabama than Mississippi State. I mean, how many other teams have pressured Dak Prescott to that degree? I'm not sure that that Ole Miss or even Arkansas this weekend will pressure Dak the way Alabama did.
Yeah, I think a lot of that was Alabama. I really just haven't seen Dak pressured that much this year. And, you know, he's only been sacked just a handful of times going into that ball game. So the offensive line, even though they're young, they replaced three starters there this season, but they've played pretty well. And you just really let Dak Prescott down, you know, and that's just one of those things that I think had a lot had to do with Alabama's talent, just the depth and the talent that they have on the defensive line. I mean, it's pretty unbelievable what if you look across the line. I mean, it's four-star after five-star after four-star after five-star along that line. They've got basically two waves of them. They just roll through there and just keep pressuring the quarterback and keeping those offensive linemen on their heels. And a lot of times Mississippi State's offensive line look like they were on skates back there trying to throw some blocks in there. And, you know, Dak Prescott was beat up after that game. I saw some welts up on his neck, and he definitely probably didn't feel too well when he woke up on Sunday.
Well, Ole Miss was open last week, so no game to look back to. What you look back on now is how do the Rebels handle the disappointment coming off that Arkansas loss, a crushing 53-52 overtime loss at home. I think the open date helps there. You know, I think you're going to see an Ole Miss team with a little bit of energy and focus. I think playing after that disappointment at home, having another home game is going to be helpful. Last year, and I've compared it to the Auburn game last year when Ole Miss lost Laquon Treadwell with the really gruesome injuries there, his broken leg and dislocated ankle, carted off the field. Not only the most productive player on offense were the Rebels losing at that time, but just really a guy that kind of rallied his teammates around him too. So, you know, you go from that game, you come back and play Presbyterian, and then you have an open date. And the first meaningful game after that Auburn game last year for Ole Miss was on the road, and they actually went up to Fayetteville and got pushed around and turned the ball over and didn't play well at all in a 30-0 loss to Arkansas. Now, right now, Logan, the players, you know how they are. They say the right things and they push all the right buttons and everything. And they're telling us about energetic practices. They're telling us about guys who are locked in and focused. And the little bit of practice that we do see, I'm not seeing drooping heads out there. I see guys spirited and running around. So, if that means anything, I would say that they have been able to get some things done in practice and move on a little bit from the Arkansas game. But I think you just really don't know about college football players until they get on the field and start playing. I do think it's going to be beneficial for Ole Miss to have this game at home against LSU. And I think there are some matchups in this game that favor the Rebels. There's a lot going on. We talk about the emotions of Ole Miss in this game, but it's going to be pretty emotional for LSU because this is a team that a couple of weeks ago was 7-0 and ranked number 2 in the college football playoff rankings. Now they've got back-to-back losses, and all of a sudden you're hearing a lot of murmurs about the job security of Les Miles and whether or not his time at LSU might be coming to an end. And how much these last two games for LSU play into that at Ole Miss this weekend and then at home against Texas A&M. It could be an emotional LSU team that arrives in Oxford, or it could be flat. And Arkansas could be the impetus for both of those teams and seeing how they respond emotionally. So lots on the line. A lot of people looked at this game a couple of weeks ago and thought SEC West implications. It really isn't that. Right now, I don't think, Logan, that Auburn is about to upset Alabama and bring those two-loss tiebreakers into play. What do you think?
I don't think so. I mean, you can kind of throw out the record book sometimes in the Iron Bowl, but it pretty much stays true to course, so I don't think so. But it's amazing, like you talked about, how different teams, when you catch them, when they fall on the schedule, how just the different impacts that it could have. Like I said, LSU's not playing their best ball right now. Texas A&M's definitely not playing their best ball right now. Those are two teams that beginning of the season, like they, you know, may end up winning the West, and doesn't look like that's going to be the case anymore, especially in Texas A&M's case. And then a team like Arkansas, who didn't look like they were going to do a whole lot at the beginning of the year. They're one of the hottest teams in the SEC, probably the country right now. So it just really depends on when you catch some of these teams.
Well, I saw Chris Lowe of ESPN writing on Twitter and answering a question from someone, and he said, look, the surprise is not that Arkansas is playing as well as they are right now. The surprise is that they didn't play so well at the beginning of the season. It's a surprise that they haven't played like this from the beginning of the season. Looking at the Razorbacks right now, Logan, what do you think about Brandon Allen and that offense? How does the Mississippi State secondary hold up there, do you think?
Well, it's a lot of young people back there in the secondary. So, you know, like you said, you really don't know until you get in the game and see how they adapt to some of that stuff. But I think the key matchup is they're going to have to find Hunter Henry and follow him around the field. Just going to have to stay with him. He hasn't caught a touchdown pass all year, but he's set up a lot of their touchdowns throughout the year. So he's going to be a key factor in finding him. And I don't think Mississippi State's played a tight end to his caliber all season, or a team that actually uses their tight end quite as much as Arkansas does. And
you know, it's not just one tight end. It's not just Hunter Henry for Arkansas. It's Jeremy Sprinkle, man, and they use those tight ends quite a bit. You know, both of them had big games against Ole Miss. Sprinkle had 4 catches for 39 yards, and Hunter Henry had 6 for 60, and it was Hunter Henry who had the savvy about him to turn around and, you know, and throw that lateral and really keep it in play, and ultimately Arkansas stayed alive in overtime and won in Oxford. But you know, you mentioned the tight ends, and, yeah, Arkansas's got 2 of them, not just 1.
Yeah, and, you know, another thing is Mississippi State's going to have to keep their defensive line fresh. I mean, a lot's been made about Arkansas's offensive line, and rightfully so. I mean, it's the largest offensive line in football, not just college football, NFL as well. I mean, it's the second year in a row that they can claim that. I mean, it's a huge offensive line. They love to run behind those guys. It's more of a traditional style offense, a power style eye offense. And, you know, Alex Collins, I've been so impressed with him over the last couple of years. I voted for him a few years ago, SEC Freshman of the Year, and he ended up winning that. And I didn't think there was anybody else more deserving than he was that year. I mean, he's you know, it's a shame that, you know, Jonathan Williams wasn't back this year. He had the injury, but that would have been a heck of a 1-2 combo for Arkansas. But Alex Collins is definitely getting the job done. He's more than capable of carrying that workload. And Mississippi State's going to have to dial up a good defensive scheme. And we talked, you know, to Manny Diaz yesterday about that. And he's it was as complimentary of Arkansas's offense as anybody I've ever seen.
Offensively, how do you think State matches up in this game?
Well, Mississippi State, they've got to find some resemblance of a running game. And it just hasn't happened all season long. And, you know, they just really – they're going to have to give Dak Prescott – if they can't find a running game, they're going to have to protect Dak Prescott, give him time to make plays through the air. It is going to help some this week having Malik Deer back. He's a true freshman that they can do a whole lot of things with. He's a slot receiver. They can line him up in the backfield. There's so many different variety of things that they can do. Gabe Miles is getting healthier too. He's another slot receiver that they can even line up at quarterback and run some wildcat stuff with. So having those two guys back and healthy is going to help Mississippi State's offense flow a little bit better. And Darunya Wilson, I guess I need to touch on that too. You know, he was carted off. It looked like it was a very serious neck injury at the end of that Alabama game. It appears that he's fine. I saw him on Monday. He was still wearing a neck brace. But talking to Billy Gonzalez, Mississippi State's wide receivers coach last night, he told me that it was he was good to go. He was going to be out there rocking and rolling this weekend. So we'll have to see if Bear plays as much and then to the caliber of that. But if he doesn't play, that's definitely going to hurt Mississippi State's offense, especially on his deep balls.
Well, looking at Ole Miss and LSU, a 2:30 CBS start Saturday afternoon. There are just some times when you know that you're better on one side of the ball than the other, and that side really has to elevate its play and win the game. And right now, with the way that Ole Miss has struggled in the secondary against some quarterbacks, I think that side of the ball is offense. And Ole Miss has been very good there, and they're just going to have to, I think, outscore LSU and find the matchups that work for them against this LSU defense. And look, this statistically is a group that will give you some opportunities on offense. They've just been fairly average against the run by SEC standards anyway. They're 27th in the country, giving up about 133 on the ground, but they're giving up some plays in the passing game. And, you know, that's where Ole Miss has to take advantage. Quarterbacks, good quarterbacks, have been able to find receivers running open in the Ole Miss secondary. And I like the Rebels' chances here to slow Leonard Fournette, the LSU running back. If Fournette gets 125 and three touchdowns, you got to figure the Ole Miss offense is going to score four touchdowns or at least get that much. I think the key, Logan, in this game is going to be, one, the Rebels have to slow Fournette, at least slow him. You know, you're not going to dominate him like Alabama did, but you can slow him like Arkansas did when he had 91 yards on 19 carries. If they can slow Fournette to that level and make Brandon Harris beat them, that's where this game is going to turn, I think. I give the Rebels a shot at slowing down Fournette, but can they guard receivers in the secondary? Can Brandon Harris make the throws and make the plays to win the game on the road? Going into that LSU and Ole Miss game a couple of weeks ago, Brandon Harris was number two in the SEC in pass efficiency, number two behind Brandon Allen, but there was a noticeable difference in the pass attempts for Brandon Harris compared to Brandon Allen. In other words, Harris was number two in efficiency, but LSU offensive coordinator Cam Cameron really wasn't calling his plays that many. He really wasn't throwing that many passes, you know, and he was fairly average against Alabama, I think 6 for 19 or something like that. You know, he was a little better, threw the ball more against Arkansas when they were playing from behind, 271 passing yards. But Arkansas, as poorly as the Razorbacks have played in the secondary, you know, Arkansas held Brandon Harris to one touchdown pass playing at home. If Ole Miss can do that, I think Ole Miss can win the game, provided they can, in fact, slow Leonard Fournette. But you have to figure that Fournette is going to get his at some point, that LSU is going to get in the end zone a couple of times, and it's going to be the responsibility of the Ole Miss offense and Chad Kelly to outscore LSU and win this game at home. And for all of the pain and heartache that comes from losing a game 53-52 in overtime, a game that you thought you had won on a 4th and 25 stop, only to see the other team keep it alive with a lateral, you know, all of the anguish that comes from that. Ole Miss played very well offensively in that game. You know, Arkansas had 605 total yards, but Ole Miss had 590. Chad Kelly, a quarterback, played a turnover-free game for the first time since the Alabama game in week three. And it was a great game for Kelly. He goes 24 for 34 passing, had several drops in that game. He could have been up around 28 for 34, and at that point, he'd have been over 400 yards as well. He finished with 368 yards and three touchdowns. He was sacked only once, but he was a big factor in the run game, more than he has been at any time this year, with 11 carries for 110 yards and three touchdowns there. So six touchdowns in the game for Chad Kelly against Arkansas, and really impressive in the run game, making the good reads on the zone read option plays, but also feeling that pressure and a couple of times running out of a collapsing pocket and picking up big gains that way. Ole Miss is going to need that type of game from Chad Kelly. They're going to need to continue to run the ball. It's not surprising that you would get better on offense when you put a potential top five overall draft pick back at left tackle on your offensive line. And since Laramie Tunsil has come back, Ole Miss, while having really struggled in the run game without him, has averaged 202 yards on the ground in the games that Tunsil has played, including 222 on the ground against Arkansas, a team that ranks 4th in the SEC in run defense. So Ole Miss has really improved there with Laramie Tunsil's return. But the guy that really just makes this offense go now is Laquon Treadwell, playing the best football of his career. Really, I think the best receiver in the SEC right now, one of the best in the country. 7 catches for 132 yards and a touchdown against Arkansas. His 5th straight game with at least 100 yards receiving and his 5th straight game with at least 1 touchdown catch. So it's about offense in this game for Ole Miss. I figure that Fournette is going to get his to a degree. You just want to keep him from dominating, and whatever Fournette can do, you want to match that and surpass it and just make sure that you don't let Brandon Harris get going and beat your secondary.
You know, and I thought that's something offensively for Mississippi State. They didn't get in the end zone last week against Alabama. Had a chance early in that ball game, fourth and goal from the 1 yard line. Dak Prescott gets stuffed on that play. And yeah, you know, something I talked to Dak about on Tuesday night. I asked him, you know, just what it was, you know, what he had to do, you know, how much he took that personally, not scoring a touchdown. And he told me that was probably the first time he's ever started a game and not scored a touchdown. So he was kind of angry about that fact, and he was wanting to reconcile that this week against Arkansas. So I think you'll come out and see him be aggressive early, may try to take some long shots down the field, maybe to a Fred Ross, who's played really well the last couple of weeks, back-to-back 100-yard games for Fred Ross, and has really kind of been that undersung guy. I mean, Darunye Wilson gets a lot of the attention at Mississippi State, but it's been Fred Ross who's gotten the job done on a lot of touchdowns for Mississippi State. Now, he's only scored 2 touchdowns receiving, but Fred Ross is the guy that continually gets the chains moved and keeps a lot of those scoring drives alive for Mississippi State. So, you know, Mississippi State's eager to get back in the end zone, and we'll see if they can do it this week in Fayetteville.
Well, 2 big games coming up for Ole Miss and Mississippi State this weekend. And then it's Thanksgiving, and then it's the Egg Bowl, and we will conclude the regular season. Lots left on the table for both of these teams as they continue to jockey for bowl position.
I'm joined now by LSU beat writer Randy Rosetta, covering the Tigers for NOLA.com and the Times-Picayune. Hey, let's talk a little football here. Randy, obviously an important game, not quite the SEC West implications that it might have had, that it looked like it would have earlier in the year. But LSU visiting Ole Miss Saturday afternoon, a CBS game, 2:30 kickoff. 2 players, Randy, 1 on each team, who will go down as among the best at their positions in SEC history when their careers are over. LSU running back Leonard Fournette and Ole Miss wide receiver Laquon Treadwell. Let's start with Fournette. I saw the dominance early in the year. You know, I saw the struggle against Alabama. That's not surprising. I know how talented Alabama is. I saw an okay game from Leonard Fournette against Arkansas statistically, but it doesn't look like he was ever able to really take over in that game. How did Leonard Fournette get to where he is 9 games in for LSU?
Well, let's start with the foundation that he's a very talented kid. He's a New Orleans kid, and if you haven't read the story, he was in a family that really struggled through Hurricane Katrina, lived on a bridge for 4 or 5 days, saw a lot of stuff that you would hope a kid would not have to see at that young age, battled through that, persevered. So he's got a very good foundation, a very motivated foundation. He's very physically gifted. He's a man. I mean, you stand next to him, and he's physically built to be a pro running back already. He's got speed. He's got a little bit of a wiggle to him, probably not as much as, he's not a Dexter McCluster type by any means, but he's got everything he needs. For 7 games, he also had an offensive line that was playing very well. And unfortunately for Leonard Fournette and the offensive line, this is a kind of a cautionary tale for folks. Anytime you see a running back having a good year, you need to look in front of him to see how good those guys are, because that's what helped make Leonard so good for 7 games, is he didn't get touched. The first 3 or 4 yards beyond the line of scrimmage, he rarely got touched. Well, you give a good running back that kind of cushion, he's going to make a cut. He's going to run over a secondary guy, and he's going to take off. Leonard, I think, had 6 or 7 runs of 70 yards or more in those first several games because he had so much room to operate. The offensive line ran into a brick wall against Alabama. I don't think Leonard or the offensive line benefited from a great job by offensive coordinator Cam Cameron in terms of adjusting within the game, and he had no room to run. Last week against Arkansas, there was a little bit more room to run, a little bit more imagination throwing the ball on first down. They threw the ball to Leonard. That's something that I'm surprised they haven't done more of. I think he caught three passes for 36 yards. He had a decent day, but as you mentioned, he didn't have an explosive day. Part of that is because Arkansas got ahead 21-0. LSU wound up in tempo or two-minute offense most of the rest of the game, which you can still use a great back, which is why he did catch some passes. But it takes that grind-it-out ability of your offense. So that kind of affected Leonard. I think that he's going to be fine. I think there were a lot of folks that were ready to anoint him the Heisman Trophy winner this year. If there's anything I've learned, I don't know everything that a lot of other guys do. I know I don't. My wife will tell me. My daughters will tell me if I think that's true. I've just learned a long time ago, you don't really decide the Heisman in September and October. You need to step back and watch the whole thing. That's why Derrick Henry's the front runner right now. Derrick Henry has put together a better all-around season now than Leonard Fournette. Not to say Leonard Fournette's season hasn't been spectacular, because it has, but now he's got work to do to stay in that conversation. Either next year, maybe that's the year where he's steadier, the climb is steady, the offensive line builds up towards this point of the season. So great back, great season, but they hit a wall, and he kind of represents LSU right now. LSU did the same thing, really good for seven games, and then they hit these two games and the sky is falling in Louisiana.
Well, I look at Fournette and I see his numbers, and honestly, when I think of Ole Miss and LSU in this game, you know, Ole Miss has been better at run defense than pass defense. You know, they've slowed down some good backs. Alex Collins was averaging around 120 when he got to Oxford. He didn't go over 100 for the game until that wild lateral play when he picked up the ball and ran for 30 yards, you know, to keep Arkansas alive in overtime. You know, Ole Miss defended well against Derrick Henry. Henry really wore them out. He had like 12 carries, I think, maybe not that many, but close to that in the fourth quarter. You know, Ole Miss did not get off the field on third downs in that game, and that was really a big part of why they were hanging on for dear life at the end in Tuscaloosa. You know, if they had done a better job in third down defense, then Alabama doesn't run 100 plays in that game. But Ole Miss really controlled most of that game and really controlled Derrick Henry most of that game. So I give the Rebels a chance to slow down Fournette, not to dominate him in the way that Alabama did. But I think that they'll have a good chance to slow him down. And my thought with this game, Randy, has been, you know, give Leonard Fournette 125 and two touchdowns if you can score three touchdowns and limit Brandon Harris. Now, I saw Harris's numbers against Alabama, and they were not impressive. He did complete a deep ball for a touchdown. Looked like he was more efficient and more accurate against Arkansas, but again, you know, a very suspect Arkansas secondary limited him to one touchdown pass. I think Brandon Harris is going to be a big key in this game if, in fact, Ole Miss can slow down Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. I think this is a very interesting matchup with these two players that we're talking about in particular, and I think you throw Chad Kelly into there because LSU needs to run the ball to have the offensive success. Brandon Harris can throw it. He's got all the tools. They're going to need to throw the ball to set up the run against Ole Miss, which is what they didn't do against Alabama, and they weren't able to get into against Arkansas because they fell behind so quickly. I think if they can mentally clean the slate, come out against Ole Miss and think that way, set up the run with the pass, then they've got a chance. And then you go to the other side of the ball. They don't give up much in the run normally. Now, Derrick Henry got to him and Alex Collins got to him. Again, playing from behind affected that last week. But they have been suspect against the pass. So it's going to be interesting to see, as good as these two offenses potentially can be, these defenses need to kind of rise to the occasion as well.
Well, let's talk about mental here a little bit, Randy, because I think that's an important topic for both of these teams. We'll come back. Don't want to forget about Laquon Treadwell. I want to see what you think about Treadwell in a matchup against the LSU secondary. But mentally, and Arkansas is the facilitator here, but both of these teams are coming off very difficult home losses to Arkansas. A couple of differences here. One, Ole Miss has had 2 weeks now to process that feeling and try to move past it in practice. The other difference for LSU, I think, is the fact that, and Hugh Freeze alluded to this earlier this week at his press conference, hey, when you've been in that top four, when you've been in that top four of the college football playoff rankings this late in the season with the knowledge that you just win a couple of more games and you're there, that's a pretty difficult emotion to deal with. What are your thoughts on LSU emotionally for this game?
And he's right, and there's a lot of SEC teams that feel that. I'm trying to think, is it last year Auburn, Ole Miss, Mississippi State were all in the thick of it. Now you've got LSU that was there. It speaks to the league, how good it is, and then how darn competitive it is when you've got teams that are in that conversation and then all of a sudden not in the conversation. It'll be curious. I didn't think LSU necessarily was hungover last week, which happens a lot after the Alabama game for them. I thought they played hard. I thought there were parts of the game plan that worked. I thought they were ready to execute. For whatever reason, the offensive line just got whipped. You know, you maybe expect that against Alabama with all those future pro guys they have in the front seven. And I know Arkansas has recruited better and gotten better up there. I really was surprised that the offensive line didn't come out with a little bit of attitude against Arkansas. And that set the tone. Both lines of scrimmage, really, for LSU. I thought that that's where the game had to be turned around. If there was a hangover at all, they kind of had to grind it out and get them started. Instead, Arkansas just took advantage of them up front. Ole Miss has got the same kind of, if not much more, talent in some of those spots. So LSU's offensive line really has to come out ready to go. They lost left tackle Gerald Hawkins, a name that I think you're probably familiar with from your North Louisiana days. KJ Malone is going to step in at left tackle. He's the son of Carl Malone, the NBA Hall of Famer. So there's
the mailman.
There's some shuffling up front. There has to be a little bit of pride with that group. I'm not putting everything on them, but as guys who have watched football long enough, we both know that if your offensive line and defensive lines are both struggling, it's going to be a long day at the Ponderosa, no matter how good your skill position guys are. So I think those guys need to get over the emotional letdown of first getting whipped by Alabama, second underperforming against Arkansas, and then third, now you've got to redirect your emphasis on this season, both teams. I think this is very interesting for both teams because I think there were high hopes, as there always are with SEC West teams, knowing if you, like Euphrey said, if you get to a certain point, you're just a few wins away from the yellow brick road, basically. And now those teams have kind of veered off course. How do you finish now? How strong can they finish?
Well, good questions there. You mentioned offensive line play. Ole Miss has gotten a lot better, not surprisingly, when you add a top five overall draft pick in Laramie Tunsil. But the Rebels have averaged 206 yards rushing over the last three games and really ran the ball well against a pretty good Arkansas defensive front. So I mentioned mentality and the emotions for Ole Miss. There's a body of work. There's a very similar example to point to last year when the Rebels lost that home game to Auburn the first weekend in November. They were a part of those college football top four rankings at that time. And, and in somewhat similar fashion, they had almost 2 weeks to get ready for Arkansas because they came out the next week and played an FCS foe, but a weak one in Presbyterian. So an opportunity to play a lot of people and rest a lot of people against Presbyterian. Then they had a true open date, but to go to Arkansas in their first meaningful game after the heartbreak against Auburn, after the Laquon Treadwell injury, and they just get pushed around, a lot of turnovers in the cold and the rain there in Fayetteville and lose 30-0. Now, players are saying the right things right now. They talk about being emotionally prepared, about energy and practice. The little bit of practice that we've seen that we're allowed to see. I would agree with that. I think there's a, you know, a good step in practice. But again, I think you just really don't have an answer to that question until players get on the field. And we'll see what kind of finish both of these teams set themselves up for. Let's talk about Laquon Treadwell a little bit. Randy, how do you see that matchup with Laquon and the LSU secondary?
Well, first of all, I'll say from a personal standpoint, it's hard not to respect a kid that went through what he did last year, that gruesome injury, and worked his way back to not only get back on the field, but to be spectacular. I think it's really, it's one of the feel-good stories of college football to watch what that kid's done. He'll have some success against LSU secondary. I don't think there's any mystery of that. I think if he and Kelly can exploit some of the youth and miscommunication issues that LSU's had there. LSU's very talented in the secondary, but there's a lot of a freshman who plays a lot in Kevin Tolliver. There's a sophomore, Jamal Adams, who plays a lot. Tre'Davious White from Shreveport is a guy who is probably going to be a first-round draft pick. He's a little bit slowed. He's been slowed down by an ankle injury. Jalen Mills is back. He missed 6 weeks with a knee injury. He's back. He seems to be at full speed. He's a guy who's kind of one of the glue guys back there. He's literally played every position in the secondary in his 4 years, but they just haven't put it all together, have not clicked completely. Even Arkansas hit some pass plays. Now, Arkansas's offense, I will say this, Arkansas's offense has been impressive to me with what they've done under their new offensive coordinator, because they mix things up maybe about as well as anybody with maybe not as much talent. So they burned LSU a little bit, with especially with the big tight end. He hurt them in the secondary a little bit. What LSU has lacked in that secondary, and they did get one interception last week in the end zone. It was kind of almost a Hail Mary in the middle of the game. But they've lacked takeaways in the secondary. And that's important because LSU's defense has stopped the run so much. Teams are throwing, I think they average 32 pass attempts against them a game, which means that that's more chances for a quarterback to do something right. You know, I know Darryl Royal said that two out of three things that happen are bad, but that one thing can hurt you once in a while. And LSU has not done one of the other two things that Darryl Royal talked about. They've not intercepted the ball very much. I think they've got four in SEC play. When you talk about 32 times a game over five, six games now, that's not a real good ratio. So if they do not take the ball away from Ole Miss in the passing game a little bit, it could be a long day, and Laquon Treadwell will find room to get open. They're not great tacklers. Yards after contact's been a problem. So it'll be interesting to see what they can do with him. If they can allow some short passes, keep him in front of them, and limit the big plays, they'll be okay. But that hasn't been the case so far.
Well, you mentioned the turnovers there. Chad Kelly, as good as he has been for Ole Miss, has struggled with that at times. He is now coming off his best game of the year, a turnover-free performance against Arkansas, where he was also very involved in the run game. But it was the first time he hasn't thrown an interception since Alabama in week three, and he actually went into that Arkansas game with a streak of about three straight multiple interception games. He's thrown 12 for the year, and they're going to throw it a lot. You know, even if Ole Miss is running the ball, they're going to throw it a lot with Chad Kelly, and they'll throw it to guys not named Laquon Treadwell. There's some other weapons out there as well, as I know LSU has. I like what I see from LSU's receivers. Hey, Randy, thanks for being with us, man. Good stuff.
All right, man. Keep it warm up there, and try to see if you can enjoy that game. Seems like this game has become as entertaining as any in the SEC since Hugh Freeze got to Ole Miss.
That was Randy Rosetta, a beat writer for NOLA.com, the Times-Picayune out of New Orleans, covering LSU. Folks, that's it for this edition of Double Coverage. Remember to follow us on Twitter at DJ Double Cover, and you can email us doublecoverage@journalinc.com. Remember to check out the memo with Brad Locke and Derek Russell. Lots of good things there. A news production of the Daily Journal, all things happening in Northeast Mississippi. Thanks for being with us, folks. We'll be back next week. It's a holiday. It's Thanksgiving, but we will have a show for you earlier in the week. Thanks again.